and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Thank you once again for coming to worship with us this Sunday morning. Welcome to our second service. We are thankful that you came. For some weeks now, God has been dealing with me on the subject of the end times, signs of the end times. Jesus said that, and it shall be as it was in the days of Noah, and as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, men shall be given in marriage. Yesterday, we had a lot of weddings in this church. Every week, we have weddings. And Jesus said, it will be one of the signs of his coming that you see a lot of marriages taking place, happening. Then he said, they ate and they drank. And we are eating and we are drinking. Even when you eat and you drink, you are fulfilling scripture and prophecy. You may not believe it. You may not agree with it for whatever reason. You may try to intellectualize scripture. And irrespective of your logic and your philosophy, you cannot overrule what is written. And what is written stands the test of time. For the grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So Jesus said, it shall be as the days of Noah. They ate and they drank. And we are eating and we are drinking. Fulfilling prophecy. He said, and they bought land and they built. We are buying and we are building. I'm building. If you look at the compound, you see building rising up. You go to the prayer mountain, we are building the dormitories. We are building. Is part of fulfilling scripture. He said, until the day Noah entered the ark and the doors were shut, then it began to rain and judgment came down and destroyed the then world. And he said, and it shall be also like in the days of Lot. They were buying and selling and building and eating and drinking, business as usual. As it is today, prophecy is being fulfilled until the day the Bible said, and Lot and his family left the city of Sodom. Then fell fire and brimstone and destroyed them all. Now the issue here has nothing to do with believe or not to believe. It has nothing to do with logic. You can climb the tallest building here in Accra and jump and say, I don't believe in the law of gravity. And you'll be history. And we will attend your funeral service and bury you. So I'm not trying to convince you. I'm not trying to convince. That's not my assignment. I'm not trying to convince anybody. I'm telling you as it is. That it is what it is. For what is written is written. And whether you believe it or you don't believe it, makes no difference. But there is a day and an hour will come when everybody shall give answer to God what you did with the word of God. We've been talking about different signs of the end time. Last week we talked about what happens to those who miss the rapture, and we talked about the seven plagues and how people will be plagued with so much pain and that they will not have opportunity to repent because the door of salvation would have been shut. So there'll be no room for repentance because that dispensation of grace, which is now, comes to an end. And it will be another dispensation, a dispensation of judgment, and the church and the Holy Spirit would have left. My assignment is to help you to miss the great tribulation. Now, it's been debated And it's something that will happen because it's prophecy that must be fulfilled. That 60 prophecies, biblical prophecies concerning the coming of Jesus, his birth, his nature, his earthly ministry, his death, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, 60 prophecies, biblical prophecies has been fulfilled. It's left with 14 prophecies. One of them is the capital moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And it shall be done. United Nations can debate it as much as they want to. They cannot override the dictates and the judicial decision and the executive determinations of eternity. So they can debate it as much as they want to. And as soon as the capital moves from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the next attempt will be rebuilding the temple. And when that happens, the world will never be the same again. There will be no peace anywhere. It will be chaos, unrest, sufferings like men have never seen it before. My job is to warn and equip the church to get ready to get out. To get ready to get out. Because this is not our final destination. We are in transit. We are going somewhere. We are passing through. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. I want to talk about three kinds of judgments. Three kinds of judgment. Some of the things I'm teaching and talking about is not being heard anywhere. People are not preaching it and talking about it. But it's a heavy subject, but I will deal with it. Because when I deal with it, my hand is innocent of any man's blood. Number one, we are dealing with past judgment, present judgment, future judgment. Let's begin our journey quickly. Come with me to the book of Genesis 18 and 25. Past judgment, present judgment, future judgment. People believe that God is the God of love and compassion and mercy and grace. It is true. This is the dispensation of grace. But the dispensation of grace will end. That door will be shut. And when the door is shut, another dispensation will come. We had the dispensation of the prophets, the law, the Abrahamic dispensation under the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant. They are all dispensations. And for every dispensation, there are specific rules or laws that governs the dispensation. This is the dispensation of grace. But it will end, and another dispensation will come known as the dispensation of judgment. And everything at that time will be judgment. And the God of love will become the God of judgment. It's another part of him. That's another aspect of God. Genesis 18, 25.
That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Should not the judge of all the earth do right?
Raise your right hand. I have to deal with something right now. Say in the name of Jesus, I quench strange fires right now. Say in the name of Jesus, as I put my hands together, I quench every strange fire and evil flame. Let strange fires be quenched, quench, quench. In the name of Jesus, I quench every strange fire and I shut it down. Rebuke every evil flame. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Tell somebody, God is here. God is here. You know, not everybody liked this message. Since I started preaching the end time, there have been all kinds of reactions, and some of the reactions are intimidations and threatenings. But I am not afraid, because I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto his name against that great day of his appearance. For he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Who say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He's my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Amen. So that is enough for me. You can't scare me, devil. You just can't do it. Amen. Now, few things here to see. The Bible said, will thou slay the righteous and the wicked? It means that the judgment of the righteous is different from the judgment of the wicked. We will not be judged the same. The judgment will not be the same. The wicked will be judged differently from the righteous. Then number two lessons here, he said, judge of all the earth. He's the judge. So he will judge the earth, and everything within the earth will be judged by the judge of all the earth. See, I hear you. Psalm 89 verse 14.
Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face.
Mercy and truth goes before you. And he said, justice and judgment are the foundation or the habitation of your throne. So God is the God of justice. He's also the God of judgment. But that aspect of him is not yet revealed. It will be revealed when the dispensation of grace has ended. So there is a window of opportunity for all of us. And that is why I'm attempting to remind you and to draw your attention to the fact that the same God who is the God of love, he's also the God of justice, and he's also the God of judgment. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28.
And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time.
This is a very...
unto salvation.
Yeah, this is a very, very scaring scripture here. First of all, it talks about it is appointed unto man for gender balance when the Bible says man is also talking about a woman, because there's nothing like a female spirit and a male spirit. But we have females and male, physically speaking. But spiritually, when we stand before God, we are spirit. There's nothing like male or female. But he said that it is appointed. When they die, their book is closed. Their destiny is determined as soon as they die. So there's no amount of prayer that can be offered that will change their status or where they will be in eternity. It is decided as soon as they leave their body. For absent in the flesh, present with the Lord or the devil. And all these things, when we go to the cemeteries to lay wreaths upon their grave and to say prayers, all that is necromancy. Stop it. It's not in the Bible. It's all ignorant and religious gimmicks and damnation. It doesn't work. It don't work. But after death comes judgment, and it is what it is. And you can choose not to believe. You can choose to believe what you want to believe. But judgment comes after death. And that judgment is what determines where you will be in eternity, depending on the life you led whilst you were here on earth. So keep that in mind, okay? Christ have taken away the sins of this world to allow you and I the right into the presence of God and to avoid the judgment that comes after death. That after you die, there will be no need for judgment for you, but you will come into his rest. After your death, it will be rest and not judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Please underline the word, the judgment seat of Christ.
That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
This particular judgment seat of Christ is not for the unsaved. This is for believers. This is for those who were born again, who live for Christ. It's very important. Born again and live for Christ. Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. On that day, we will account for what we did with our time, money, talents, giftings, and what we did in our bodies. Whether you use your talents and your giftings for God or you use it for yourself. There are people sitting in the church. They are gifted to sing in the choir, but they will not sing. You're offended. You are hurt about something. For one reason or the other, you are like the man that buried his talent. You've decided to bury your gift and your talent. There are people who can do things to help the church, but they hold back. They hold back their tithes. They hold back corporate tithing. They hold back anything that is required of them. They just hold back. They don't want to be hurt. They don't want to be offended. They give all kinds of reason, and they justify their actions and their attitudes for doing what they please because they don't want to be bothered. On that day, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That judgment is different from the judgment of the world. It's a different judgment. This judgment, you are not going to be judged and be sent to hell. But it's a judgment of accountability where we will give an account of what we did with the time given us, the money, the giftings, the talents given unto you and I. And that's why I preach. That's why I preach. I had an invitation recently, preaching in the church, just one day. And they sent the forms and everything, $75,000. And I said to Elsie, I can't do it. And she said, and I said, I know, I can't do it. I have to be in Ghana. I have to be in the church. I can't go for that money. I turn it down. And you know why I didn't go? Because I have to be here. And even though I need the money, I will be out of the will of God. And our actions and our doings and our motives will all be accounted for. Why do I want to build a big church? If I want to build a big church so I can win more souls, it is good. But if the motive to build a big church is to compete with another church and to prove that I am bigger than every other church in town, I will answer on that day. It's a very fearful thing. If I am winning souls so I can have more people in my church to prove to another church that I have more congregation than them, that motive will be judged. But if I'm winning souls because I love souls and I don't want people to go to hell, and I'm preaching because I love people and I love souls and I want them to come to the knowledge of the Son of God, it's a good thing on that day. Because I will have to account for it. And hear me, if I want 1,000 souls or 1,000,000 souls to God, and my motive was right, the souls I've won in the name of Jesus will be saved and I'll be rewarded for it. But if my motive for doing it was to prove a point and was to compete with others or to take people from other churches to my church so I can be the biggest church, those souls will be saved by fire. But I will not be rewarded for bringing 1,000,000 souls to God. Even though I work to bring them to God, they will be saved. But I will have no reward because my motive for doing it was wrong. Why do you want to be blessed? Why do you want to be big? Why do you want to be successful? Why do you want to be successful? Because every man's work will be tested by fire. And even we ourselves shall be saved by fire. So everything will be tested. And that is where we'll see the purity of everybody's motive and everybody's heart. Right now, everybody is doing it. Ayalulu. But a day is coming when everybody's motive and works will be tested. You know, I think I left something in one of the scriptures that I want to comment on it quickly so I don't miss it. Let's go back to, let me see, onto them that look fine. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. Again, please, I think the 28th verse. I left something. The Holy Spirit just reminded me.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Mm-hmm. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Without sin unto salvation.
You see, this scripture is very serious. Last week I spoke to you about the fact that you can be born again. The Bible said, whoso, John 3:3, he said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Then verse 5 of John 3 says, except a man is born of the Spirit and born of the Word, he cannot enter the kingdom. So you can be born of God. You will see the kingdom, know it, experience it, but there's a possibility if you don't live right, you won't enter the kingdom. It's a very scary thing. But hear me. He said he will appear unto those who look forward for his coming. 1 John 3:3. He said, for anyone that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So purification or daily sanctification is a daily requirement to make that trip. And the only way you can look up and look forward for him is when you know you are ready. So just living like an unbeliever after being born again will deny you. And there's a lot of believers who don't believe he's coming and are not getting ready for the coming of the Lord. He said, those who look forward. Are you looking forward for his coming? When I see some of the things going on in the world, as I listen to CNN and I see the unrest in the nations of our world, the fear, the panic, the uncertainty, I begin to pray like I have never prayed before. I say, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, come soon. Come soon. Come. Come, Lord. Come. Because in the next, if Jesus tarries the next 50 years, I don't believe that a lot of nations of this world will exist. Without God's judgment coming, we ourselves would destroy ourselves. Nowhere is safe anymore. Nowhere is safe anymore. There is fear. There is panic. There is unrest. Traveling by air today. All the wickedness of men. It's not getting any better, and it's not going to get any better. And I'll show you why. This world is already judged. This world is not going to get saved. It's not going to get any better. Satan can't repent. Demons can't repent. This world is not going to be saved. This world is already judged. It's waiting for the church to leave, and the judgment will hit it. I showed it to you. Revelation 15 and 16, the seven plagues that will come upon this world after the church leaves. So I don't spend my time praying for this world. I spend my time praying for the church and for believers. And that's why we must win souls, use our money, our time, our talents, and everything to win souls. Because the only thing God is interested in this world is the souls of men. The most expensive commodity on earth is human beings, not buildings. Human beings. That's the most precious thing before God. God is interested in human beings. I thank God for buildings. And if Jesus tarry, we'll build more buildings as we check our motives and examine our hearts. But that is not the most important thing before God. The most precious thing before God is human beings. Do you value human than money? And if you are the kind and the type that you value money, power, success, relevance than human beings, and you call yourself a Christian, you have fallen and backslided. There's something wrong with you. Can you put your hands together and shout? Hear me. If you are not looking forward for the coming of Jesus, it is an indication that something is wrong with your relationship with God. I'm telling you. Every Christian must look forward to his coming. And if you are looking forward for the coming of the Lord, you must examine yourself on a daily basis. Check yourself. Let's go on, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
Amen. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 31.
Now is the judgment of this world.
You see?
Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
So the world is judged already. Two, Satan is already judged. So Satan cannot repent. It's impossible for Satan and for demons to repent. Can't do it. I'm a very, very compassionate, you don't know. And one of my strengths and my weakness at the same time is my compassion. A lot of problems I've had in life has to do with my compassion for people. I'm just telling you. Because I've sat there and I've looked at a lot of situations I got myself involved in, trying to help people, the betrayals, and all the things I've suffered as I watched through, apart from my own personal mistakes and errors of immaturity and lack of understanding and knowledge in growing the things of Christ, has to do with my compassion for people. But since I started this subject, something has been happening to me lately. Sometimes I will try to pray for some people and the Spirit will restrain me and say, don't pray. Just like Samuel was praying for Saul, and God said, don't pray for Saul, I will not hear you. And I tried to reach out for some people, and the Spirit will restrain me and say, do not care for them, leave them alone. Don't call them, don't reach out to them, leave them. And the Spirit began to minister to me, why? Go to Genesis 6 and 3. Look at Genesis 6 and 3.
And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
You see, there was a dispensation when man was given grace to live for 120 years. No matter how you lived, 120 years was the ceiling. But it shifted. In the days of Moses, it came to 70, and by grace beyond 70. And that is the dispensation we live in. But some can go to 100 years, you know, depending on how you take care of yourself and also what God's agenda and how active and committed you are to God's ongoing responsibility. How long you live has to do with your value and your usefulness to God's purposes on earth. Amen? Now, when the Bible said the Spirit of God will not strive with man forever, it means that there is a point where you cross the line and the Spirit of God. And let me tell you where that point is. There are two things that I don't hear anybody preaching and teaching it. And it bothers me. And it's basics, but we don't talk about it anymore. The Bible says, grieve not the Spirit and quench not the Spirit. Very, very strong, but very basic. But it's very powerful. Grieve not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Holy Spirit. It means that the Holy Spirit will prompt you. He will warn you. He will work with you. He will convince you. He will do everything to check you about certain sins, certain behaviors, like bearing grudges, quarrelsome, fighting with people. Lying. I was telling a young preacher, I said, you lie too much. And he said, what have I done? I said, you lie too much. And he was looking at me some way. And I said, most times when I'm with you, people call you. And because you are with me, you don't want to talk to them. And you tell them you will call them back. And sometimes I'll call you in 10, I'll call in 30. And I say, you never call them. And that is a lie. He said, I've never seen that. When I said, the best you can do is to tell them, please call me back. So you put it on them or switch off your phone. But if you say you call them back, you have to call them back. And when you don't call them back, you are lying. You see, you might look at it as such a small sin. There is nothing like big sin and small sin. Sin is a sin. Hello? Clap your hands. You know, as simple as that, we don't return people call. We make promises and we know we are not going to keep it, and yet we make it. We make promises. So the Spirit of God will check you, even the way you deal with your staff, the way you deal with your workers. I was telling them at the first service, sometime I'll be driving with my driver and somebody will just cross me Sunday morning. Oh, I'm coming to preach. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm charged under the anointing. I'm enjoying angels. And somebody will cross my car and stop. Pow! And we have to escape it. At that time, my flesh wakes up. And my emotion feels justified. And I'll tell my driver, roll down the glass. Archbishop, put aside spirituality. Deal with this man. And I would just feel like saying something. And sometimes what I'm thinking to tell them is like shigalele. And I say, hey, Archbishop, Archbishop. And maybe it's a member of my church coming to church. And maybe she and the wife or the husband have had some problem and they are not thinking, but they just want to be in church. And they cross me and I insult them. Then they come and sit at the front of the church and I'm preaching. Then they are looking at me and say, hypocrite, hypocrite. Christianity is not easy. Do you hear me? Sometimes my security people will tempt me. My secretary tempts me sometimes. I'll tell her something and she won't do it. She'll do something. And it's like, what is wrong with you? And sometimes the thing comes on your chest and you want to fire. But you have to be careful. Tell somebody, careful. You know, it's very dangerous, eh? It's very dangerous when you are in authority or when you have power. Because you can abuse it. You can misuse it. Years ago, I told a certain president in this country, I visited him, and his national security was with him. And because of some things I've been through, some investigations, how people lied on me, and I was subjected to investigation for 2 years, I went through a lot of problems. And we were talking, and I said to the national security guy, I said, you are the people who mislead president to abuse power. And I said, be careful of your briefing, because sometimes you people are anointed and you have brigade liars or brigades who just lie to the president and tell him lies about people so that you can control him and keep good people away from him. And I said, you have to be very careful. And I said it very, very boldly, without fear whatsoever. It was my responsibility to say it, and I said it. And I said, Mr. President, they are good people, but weigh what they say and always have a second opinion to check what they tell you. Amen. All right. So the world has been judged. Satan has been judged. Let's look at Matthew 25 and 41.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
Look at this. It's very clear here that judgment is already determined when it comes to Satan and his angels and all those who choose to follow him. Hell, now this scripture establishes the fact that hell was never made for man. God never intended for any man to go to hell. It's never God's intention or desire or wish that any man should go to hell. It was specifically made for the devil and his angels. But those who go to hell will go to hell because they chose to reject God and chose not to follow God by their own way. And God cannot superimpose his will on anybody's will. So, Genesis 6:3, the Spirit will strive with you, do everything to help you not to continue in a particular lifestyle. We keep speaking. When you keep ignoring him to a point where you don't listen anymore, you shut him down, you've quenched him, he pulls back. Let me explain that to you. Somebody came to see me the other day and said, Papa, I'm struggling with something. And when he told me what it was about masturbation. Masturbation, okay? Masturbation is self-indulgence and is lack of self-control. Christianity is self-control, endurance, and mastering. So if you masturbate, it's a sign of lawlessness, indiscipline, lack of self-control, lack of mastering. And he said, I'm having a challenge. I keep confessing and I'll do it again. I confess and I keep doing it. I confess and I keep doing it. What do I do? I said, keep confessing. You know why? I'll tell you why. As long as he keeps confessing, there is hope for him. Yes, there's hope. Because you see, he will get to a point when he gets tired of confessing. At that point, two things happen. He will either cry out for deliverance or he will stop. That is it. But if you keep sinning to a point where you don't confess anymore and you feel justified, you don't feel guilty, you don't feel bad, you don't feel anything, it's an indication that you have crossed a line. That is it. And at that point, you are in trouble. Let's say you are moving with somebody, wife or somebody's husband, and every now and then, when that anointing comes on you, you do it. And you confess. There's hope for you. But when you get to a point where you don't feel there's anything wrong about it anymore, you don't confess anymore, or you do... You know what that is? Marijuana. I used to do it. There's an old friend of mine. I don't know if he's here today. Sammy Tuga. He used to be here. We used to do it together. There's a place called Legion Village. And next to Golden Tulip, they used to call it Continental Hotel. We used to go there in the afternoon. And it was hot. It was shishishi. And you do the thing and then you inhale it. You have to do this because the thing has the power to, it's an injection. It will hit you and go through your spine. So you have to shake yourself. Then shake yourself and then you see men like trees. Then you'll be walking some way. They used to call me, you know, they used to call me Brother Nick. Some used to call me Nicky Maris. So say, Nicky, then I'll do this. Yeah. Somebody is Seke, Seke. Somebody say Seke. Somebody say Adam, Adam. Insanity. You know, you keep doing it. As long as you keep confessing, you will eventually feel bad to a point where you will either cry for deliverance or you stop it. But when you cross that line to the point where you don't feel anything and you feel justified, it's okay, you don't confess anymore, God understands, at that point you cross the line. The spirit is quenched. He pulls back. You're on your own. Please don't go there. Don't. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Somebody sing, create in me. And renew a right spirit within me. Oh, cast me away from the present. Oh, please be seated. You know, a time comes in your Christian life, if you don't take heed, you have a critical spirit, a bad spirit of arrogance, spirit of haughtiness, spirit of pride, where you have no feelings, you don't care anymore. You live any way you want. There's no feelings in the church anymore. There's no compassion for one another. We are too arrogant. We are too proud. Haughty. Sitting in church, holding grudges against one another. Sit in church, don't greet one another. Collect people's money. You borrow money from somebody, you won't pay them. And when you meet them in church, you don't greet them. And because you owe them, you will change. You come to first service if they come to second. And if they come to first, you come. I mean, what is wrong with us? Other religions are not like that. You make deals with your Christian brother and sister, and you write a legal document and you violate it. And you have no conscience. We can't even apologize anymore. We can't say I'm sorry anymore. We have crossed a line. That is not Christianity. And it is not your fault. It's my fault. And it's Bishop Obode's fault. Because we haven't taught you. We have taught you the principles of Jesus, but we haven't taught you the person of Jesus. That is not Jesus. That is not his character. Give and it shall be given is his principle. That is different from his person. His person, he's caring. He's loving. He's forgiving. Are you caring? Are you loving? Are you forgiving? Are you long-suffering? That is his person. That is different from his principles. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Are you faithful? You know, there are things that sometimes it's difficult to even give businesses to people in the church. I'm not talking about other churches. I'm talking about action. Sometimes it's difficult to give business contract. We are building here. Sometimes we need masons. We need carpenters. We need all kinds of expertise. But it's cheaper to give the job to a Muslim or to an unbeliever than giving it to people in the church. When they bring, what do you call it? The invoices. They bring an invoice of monies that their fathers, since God said let there be light, has never had. They bring you an invoice to pay them that money. And I don't understand it. And they have no conscience. They have no feelings. No heart of repentance. And they lie with conviction. And they lie with boldness. And with audacity. Hey. It's scary. And I'm warning you, don't do business with anybody in this church unless you check for me or Bishop Obodai, because not everybody is correct. I'm telling you. Even if you see them around me, don't do business with them until you check for me who they are, because there are all kinds of people around me. Not everybody around me is correct. Are you hearing me? Everybody has reasons for being around me. And don't think I don't know. I know. And don't think I don't see. I see. I have three levels of relationship. The outer court. The inner court, holy place. And the holies of holies. So you might see somebody around me and you think they are close to me, but they have been designated for the outer court, but they don't know it. I deal with them according to outer court anointing and responsibility. And some I allow to come into the holy place. And others, holies of holies. That's it. So be very careful. Just because you see somebody around me, you don't know whether they are outer court relationship, holy place relationship, or holies of holies relationship. Don't be fooled. And sisters, be careful. A lot of you sisters, you meet a brother. You are 40 years old. No brother is showing up. And the brother come and say, I will marry you. Sister, I've been praying about you. Sister, I see you in my dreams. Sister, I can't sleep these days. Sister, you are all that I see in my dream. I believe the Lord is speaking to me to marry you. And because nobody is coming, you too, you accept it. And then you sleep with them. And they sleep with you. And then after they've slept with you, they've conquered you. So they look for number two challenge. Then they go and tell another sister, the Lord said, I should marry you. As soon as you hear somebody say, I will marry you, no, then you fall. What is wrong with you? Yaya, Leke, Maba, Minisani. Mount. Don't look at me without your religious look. It's happening live in the church. Brothers are sleeping with sisters. And we'll marry them. And the sisters will give it to you right now. As soon as you tell them, I'll marry you, no, it's a license to give it to you. And they know it. You looking at me? A sister came to my office. A sister came to my office to introduce a young man to me. The guy has dressed very well. And he was using a particular perfume. I know that perfume. Very, very nice perfume. I use similar perfume. So I know it. Because me, I'm not an angel. I came from the ghettos. So don't look at me as if I'm an angel. I'm not an angel. So he came. He sat before me. And the guy was smooth like butter. And I had problems with it. So after we finished talking, the sister said, Papa, what do you think? I said, this one is too smooth for me. And she said, what do you mean? I said, no. On your papa. And I said it in his presence. I told the guy, I said, you, there's something about you I'm not figuring out. You are too smooth. You know why I said that? Because I've been there. Eh? You can't rob an arm robber. So I told the sister, I said, my daughter, I know you are ready to marry. He looks good. But something is not adding up. And his perfume, he has put it in his hair. Everywhere, the thing was smelling. But very powerful perfume. I know the perfume. You buy it from Harrods. So I said, you people can go. So she didn't like it. The next time she came to church, she came to see me and she said, Papa, you really embarrass me. And I said, as if I care and I'm afraid of you. And I said, I'm trying to save you. And you are embarrassed. I didn't say anything. Few months, he came to see me crying. And I said, what is it? The guy. And I said, what is it about the guy? He said, he's married. He has a wife in London. And you see, the brothers right now, they are very smart. Oh, they watch some of you sisters and who have a very good job. You have your own car. You have your own apartment. You've done well for yourself. They watch you. When we make vows, you come forward giving time. They watch you very carefully. Watch you at the car park. They steady you. Then one of these days, they will tap you and say, sister, I've been watching you. Then they will ask you, sister, this your hair. What is the name of the style of your hair? What perfume are you using today? And you get carried away. My hair. Don't buy me. Before you give in, don't let them get at you at all. Check them out. Find out where they come from. Which of the tribes of Israel do they belong to? Have they worked before? Have they earned salary? Where do they live? Is he staying with his mother or his father, or is he staying on his own? How long have he been staying on his own? How many months or years have he paid salary? Has he paid anybody? How much does he earn? Is he a tithe payer? Does he fear God? Is he committed to any of the groups in the church? Is he always in church? And if he's always in church, is he faithful? Is he honest? You have to check it out. Then find out who his father is. Like father, like son. Find out who his father is. And find out how the father treats the mother. Don't fall in love. Walk in love. And marriage is not about love. Marriage is about purpose. Don't use your head, your heart. Use your head. Use your head first. Use your head. Check him out. Put him through the mail. And after he has passed all the tests, then let your heart go. All right, let me stop here. Jude 1:6. Bishop Obuda, stay with me. Don't leave me now.
And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
So those angels have been judged. You see, the Bible said in the book of Genesis that the sons of men slept with the daughters of men. The angels that fell, they slept with the daughters of men, and they produced angels. And those men were half spirits and half human beings, or half human. Those were the people, if you look at the flood, they were destroyed in the flood. And some of them, after that, came Noah's generation. If you look at those angels, they are not full human beings. And those angels have been confined already to a place waiting for the final execution. They have been judged. They can't repent. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. My time is almost up. 1 Peter 2:4.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
Now, I want you to look at me. You see, when you hear people say hell, hell, hell is not the final place. Hell is a holding place. The final place is the lake of fire. So hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. Hell is not the final destination for Satan, his angels, and sinners. Hell is a holding place. It's a place of transit. But the real place is the lake of fire. So hell itself will be judged. That's why I don't let anybody tell you he saw somebody in hell. You see, some of these things is very, it's sad when Christians are so ignorant that they allow some sorceress, diviners, who dream and see through the eye of the devil things that will never happen, and then they pass it on. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:21.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in
him. Jesus became sin in order for us to receive imputed righteousness. This is not fulfilled righteousness. There are two kinds of righteousness: fulfilled righteousness and imputed righteousness. Fulfilled righteousness is when you pay your tithe, is when you give, when you fast, when you pray, when you give. You know, living right and all those things. Those are fulfilled righteousness, obedience, better than sacrifice. But imputed righteousness, that gives you and I a right standing before God. And we can go to God as if we have never sinned before. It's imputed. So we have access to the Father because of what Jesus did for you and I. So Jesus have done everything for you and I to make sure that nobody goes to hell. The price is paid. He's been judged for your sins and for my sins. And the sin he was judged for is future, past tense, present, and future. He was judged for every sin you have committed, you are committing, and you shall ever commit. He's been judged for it. He paid the price, and the blood is available. Appropriate it. Amen. Okay. Are you clapping? It's good to clap. Thank you. Okay. Quickly. John 1:29. John 1:29.
The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen. Taketh away, not sins, plural, singular, the sin of the world, which stands to reason that this sin he's referring to is the sin of rebellion against God. That man has chosen to rebel against God. Either by the reason of education or background or money or success. It does not matter who you are. It is a dangerous thing to rebel against God. You may not believe there is a God. It's only the fool that says there is no God. If you want to know whether there is God or not, set a camera to take a picture of yourself when you are sleeping and snoring. You see, so when I hear people say, I don't believe in God, I don't even waste my energy and my time to convince you. I don't spend time on such people at all. You don't exist. You have a very big problem. Amen. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 31 and 32. Quickly, let's run up.
For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
That is what I'm attempting to do. That I'm judging myself and I need you to judge yourself. Because Christianity is daily self-examination. You examine your motives. You examine why you come to church. Why you serve God. How you treat people. How you deal with your husband. How you deal with your wife, your children. And how children deal with parents. How you deal with your boss, your subordinates. How do you treat people is a daily requirement of daily sanctification. You examine your motives, your ways on daily basis. We judge ourselves here. We shall not be judged when we go up there. It's a daily thing. Are you examining yourself? Are you checking yourself? Are you checking your Christianity? Christianity is not how you behave when you come to church, but it's how you behave when you leave church. And some of you, you backslide at the car park. Just park. Some of you, temptation is, the devil is waiting for you at the car park to test your Christianity. I'm telling you. Sometimes I finish preaching and I'm so tired. I want to change. I want to chill. And security guy says, somebody wants to see you. And I'll tell them, please tell them I can give them only 5 minutes. Then when they come, they take a seat. They take about 5 minutes to sit down. They start talking. By the time they sit down, the 5 minutes is over. Then when they sit down, they take another 5 minutes. And there are people waiting. And sometimes my Christianity is tempted. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And I want to say, Father, thou knowest all things. This anger I want to express is a justifiable anger. Because this brother is also being very insensitive. He knows I'm tired. Why is he tempting me? And I can't say it. And I keep quiet. And I listen. Then when they finish, they kneel down and say, pray for me. Then after I pray for them, they'll say, 1 minute, I have a friend here. He loves you. He wants to just see you. Lay your hands on him. They don't even wait for me to answer. Then they run. Then they go and bring their friend. You see, all those things are temptations. I'm telling you. And sometimes my security people will handle them harshly. And I warn security and say, you can't do that. You can't do that. Jesus died for them. They are wrong. But you can also mishandle them. So don't treat them there. But it's difficult. I tell my security, Tyson has a very bad name. Tyson, he doesn't have a good name at all. Tyson has a very, very bad name. Because his job, he doesn't smile. Tyson don't smile. It doesn't matter who I talk to. He just stands and look at them. He's checking everywhere. He doesn't trust anybody, Tyson. On you, I think he only trusts his wife. He doesn't trust anybody. I've tried to make him trust people. He doesn't trust anybody. Everybody is a suspect to Tyson. And it's very difficult. Christianity is not easy. Even after I've said this, after the service, you see some people will still come and tempt me. Amen? So we need to judge ourselves. Daily sanctification is required. You need to check yourself. You need to check your motive. You know why? Because there's a greater judge. And one day, you and I will stand before him. And will be judged. Including judges who judge others. People, you are a judge. You judge people. You will be judged. You are a politician. You are power. Eh? You are power. It has expiry date. You will be judged. Nobody goes free. Nobody is free in this world. It's a matter of time. Finish.
But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world.
God does not want us to be judged with the world, and that's why he's giving us opportunity to judge ourselves. Let's move on quickly. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Let's finish.
Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith.
Examine yourself and see, are you still a Christian? You see, people think as soon as you are born again, oh, that is it. No. After born again, there's a lot of work to be done. You got to check yourself on a daily basis. Am I still born again? That is it. You know, I've known Bishop Naku for many years, and he's one person we check ourselves. Sometimes I'll call him and I say, Bishop, are you still born again? Are you still sanctified? And he's the only one who come and say, Archbishop, how are you doing? And I say, I'm fine. He said, are you still sanctified? I say, yes. Is there anybody who can ask you, are you still sanctified? If there's nobody who can ask you, are you still sanctified? You're in trouble. I think you should clap your hands. It will help you.
Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates.
Jesus Christ is in you. If you don't examine yourself, then you've crossed a line. That's what that word means. You've crossed a line. Reprobate. You've crossed a line. That is not you. Proverbs 13:24.
He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes.
That is what I'm doing. I love you so much. I love you. All these things I'm doing, examining myself and challenging you to examine yourself, judging myself and challenging you to judge yourself, is out of love. It's out of love. Since I started preaching these messages, the offerings have gone down. So I can tell that a lot of people are not happy with me. But it doesn't matter. My assignment is not to preach for you to give more. That is not my assignment. My assignment is to preach the word of God. What you do with it is your responsibility. And I know what to preach to make you happy. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You know, I went to a church in America, and when I preached, I knew that after that message, they wouldn't give me an offering. You know, because in America, in some of those churches, you got to hoop. You got to hoop. Do you feel me? I feel an anointing in the house. Do I have a witness here? And somebody say, yeah, yeah. If you hold on a little bit longer. Ooh, Jesus. I feel it now. I feel it now. Don't mind me. Don't mind me. Hebrews 12:4-11. And then one more scripture and we are done for the day.
You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
We have to strive against sin. Overcoming sin is not automatic because you are born again. You have to make a conscious effort. I was talking to an old friend of mine and he said, the reason why I don't like coming to your church, the sisters are too beautiful. And I said, when you come, look at me. That's simple. I don't look at so many things though. I don't look at so many things. There are some things I don't look at them. I just take my eyes on. Somebody just get up. Get up. Get up. Stand on your feet. Let me show you something. Look another direction. Tell somebody it's simple. What do you do? Just do this. Very simple. So you don't have to be distracted at all. You see that looking at something is giving you some ideas. Just amen. Sit down for 1 minute and I'll let you go home. Put your hands together. Thank God for Jesus. Are you clapping? Amen. Striving against sin. Go ahead.
And ye have not, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
You see, don't faint. This is a rebuke. Some of these messages are rebuke. Now, I'll be very honest with you. I'll just be very honest with you. When I started this message, I thought I would finish in 4 weeks, okay? And after 6 weeks, 8 weeks, it's getting deeper and deeper. And I'll be very honest. Can I be honest with you? Yes. I don't like it. I struggle a lot on Sundays to come and preach this message. I'm telling you. I struggle. Sometimes I want to push it on Bishop Obodai. You know, and you say, Papa, I don't have that revelation. You are the one God gave it to. And I'll say, but you can help me. Say, I'll help you, but not right now. You know, if I tell you I'm very happy and excited about the message, it's not true. Because this message, it affects everybody, including the one preaching it. Since I started preaching it, I'm checking my Christianity. Oh, I'm being very honest with you. I'm checking my Christianity and I'm seeing temptations like never before. All kinds of temptations coming at you from all angles. And I said, the word is testing me myself. You know? So pray for me that very soon I'll go off it, because I have some other messages, you know, that I'm working on. Like, there's a message in my spirit right now that your harvest this year will be on time. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. You didn't hear what I said. Oh, come on. I said your blessing will be on time. Sister, your husband is coming on time. Your marriage will be on time. Your promotion will be on time. Your breakthrough will be on time. If you believe it, say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Hallelujah. And that message is loaded. I'm seeing some scriptures. It's powerful. But I still don't feel the release. I don't feel the release to go there yet, you know. But it will come. And I love it when I preach and you respond and you're excited. But it looks like I have to stay here small. Eh? And I was studying with my son. We studied together. And Bishop Buddha, we studied together. And we're studying the other day. And we got to a scripture. And when Joel saw that scripture, I said, Papa, this is very scary. And I said, son, me too, I'm scared. So he said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'll still preach it. Because the more I preach it, the more I become accountable and responsible. So I won't dodge it. But some of the scriptures, they are very scary. If Archbishop preaching for 40 years from 76 till now is scared of some scriptures, then you tilapia. Put your hands together and give God praise. All right, let's finish. It's lunchtime. Let's finish and go home.
For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
That's right. Every son. Go ahead.
If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons.
And I want you to endure what you are hearing. Endure it, because it will help you live right. I'm telling you. It will help you live right. That if Jesus appears today or tomorrow or 50 years from today, you are ready. Live right.
For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Uh-huh. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, uh-huh, then are ye bastards and not sons.
Tell someone, I'm not a bastard. I'm not a bastard. Amen.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, mm-hmm, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and, mm-hmm, live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, mm-hmm, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
You know, when I preach these messages, sometimes I want to lift up some heavy worship songs. But the songs that come are not those heavy songs. So create in me a clean heart. You know, as if there's no clean heart. But those, it is what it is. Because we are Christians, but we bear grudges. A lot of us, we bear grudges. I was dealing with a situation recently when a Christian brother I love very much has taken a stand against me. And I look at his argument, he has no basis. And it doesn't matter what I explain and what I say, it won't work because he's offended, he's hurt. And the only thing I have to do is to say, Father, judge between us. And I can't do that because he's a Christian brother. He'll get over it. But between now and then, I have to bear the pain and endure whatever he's doing to me. Because he's my brother. And it's painful. Sometimes I want to pick up a phone and tell him something, but I can't do it. Because you don't kill fire with fire. So I just leave it alone. So we bear grudges. We take one another for granted. We do business with people in the same church. and we don't honor, we borrow money and we have no intentions to pay back. And after the service, when you go greeting guests and everything, don't take anybody's telephone number to apply for it. So that's what Christians do. I mean, let's face it, I'm a father and I know it. Just take somebody's number. Oh, I saw you in action. There are people, I have ambassadors friends, they come to this church and they write to them, email them, take their telephone number and say, I met you in action, I need a visa. I'm the Archbishop, I'm the Archbishop's son or daughter. And they write to me, the embassies will write and say, I don't know them. And then they have the audacity to come and face me, why did you say I don't know? And I said, do I know you? Did you ask me before you applied and use my name? So why should I say I know you? I don't know you. Let's be Christians. Let's be honest. People use my name. They use my name without telling me. There are pastors in this city here. They invite people in my church who has money. Some of them are my sons and friends. And they invite people in my church who has money to their fundraising programs and things. But I don't invite anybody from their church. And I know people in their churches who have money and I don't invite them to my church to help me. But they will invite people from my church. And when they invite you, instead of you to tell me, you don't tell me, you go because they are papa so and so. And you go, you give them money. I'm not saying you shouldn't help them. But we have to check our motives. It is wrong when I don't do that to you. And then some of you, you allow pastors who are friends of yours in town. They ask you, so who are the people in the church and around the Archbishop who have money? And you mention their name, give them their telephone numbers and where they work. And you are sitting here and I'm trying to build buildings for your children's Sunday school. And you are diverting money from my house to another house. And you call yourself a child of God. Chineke. Stand on your feet. I'm through for today. All right. Turn your Bibles. As you stand on your feet and we close, let's go to Revelation 3:19. Revelation 3:19, that is our last scripture for the day. Let's pray and go home.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
As what?
As many as I love.
How many of you believe God loves you? Come on, somebody. Oh, I'm not here. I'm not feeling you at all this Sunday morning. You believe God loves you? Then accept this word. Accept it. I'm telling you. He loves you. And I believe God really loves me. You know why I believe God loves me? When I started preaching these messages, a friend of mine called me and said to me, he said, nobody is preaching what you are preaching. Then he said to me, what happened to us? How come we are not preaching the end time at all? And I said, you know what? We've backslided. Because some of the things I'm preaching right now, I used to preach it 30 years ago. So I was telling Bishop Oboda, what happened to all of us? How come all these years I haven't preached these messages? And I'm preaching every other thing in the Bible but this one. And I realized that these are the messages that will take us to heaven. And Satan wants us to preach, you will break through, you will prosper, you are the head and not the tail, you are above and not beneath, you will get a promotion on your job and this and all those crazy things we are talking about. And he has made sure that we walked away from these messages so that we are still preaching, we are still in church, but there's a possibility we will make the flight because we are not living a sanctified life. We are fighting one another. We are bearing grudges. We are offended against others. We are hurt about others. We are in the same church. We don't talk to one another. We have fallen. Lift up your hands. Everybody stand on your feet. Say, Heavenly Father, I've heard your word and it's caring. But I know you love me. You want me to repent. You want me to make heaven. And that's why you are reminding me of the basics, truths in the word that made me a child of God. For whatever reason, I've walked away. And my pastors, including the Archbishop, have kept these truths from me. Thank you, Father, for bringing it back, for convicting the Archbishop, and especially Bishop Obodai and all the pastors to bring back the basics in the name of Jesus. I accept it, Lord. I turn away, Lord, from my wicked ways, from my ignorance, and I receive the word of truth, the word of life, the word of grace. I repent of pride, of haughtiness, of ignorance. I repent of my education, logic, philosophy. I repent of anything that stands between me and the truth for whatever reason. I renounce it. I submit to you, Lord. I give you lordship over my life. Thou art my Savior. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. Father, forgive me of my past ignorance, sins, errors, mistakes of the past. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Wash me. I'll never go back again. I'll not go back again. I won't tempt you. I won't cross the line with you. I won't grieve the Holy Spirit. I will not quench the Holy Spirit. Even where I don't understand, I will still obey in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Put your hands together and give God praise.